Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Usquam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/CJSF radio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-CJSF. Welcome, everybody, to Slumber Party. We are here every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. I'm DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And we just want to thank you for tuning into us today. We have a topic about Palestine and academic censorship that will be coming a bit later, and it does kind of diverge from that slightly throughout the course of the conversation, but we will see how it goes. The first song that we have coming up is by an Egyptian-Palestinian artist who expresses her contemporary Arabic identity through a variety of genres. She's very inspired by Little Sims. I really like this song. It's called Garage Al-Kahira by Maben and Karim Siri. So enjoy.
Enjoy.
حطوا القيمة على الورق عكاش الدنيا تسبن سبن يلا وين وين لحد ما تجن افتح شباكك والحق اخر حاجة ببلاش عيش ميت قبل ما تقوم طالع عمعاش في البيت بيت بكرة تنزل عالدواش مش بنشوفك غير لما ندوس عالفلاش بشوفك قاعد بتجهز الصورة قصص الصورة سيك انك ماسك السطور رأيك عايم مية في النافورة يوم عشق ضلمة يوم سيد العشاق في النور عاش من شافك غير وانت عالشاشة يومي بالشخصية وش تحمل على فلاشة من مراية وانت بيض وبتتلاشة تصحى الصبح تلبس طقم نوفي المزغة الشاشة
Track.
Woman in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit squis.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star, and we are about to get into our discussion about Palestine and academic censorship. And as we know, the genocide in Palestine has been happening for over 2 years now. Since October 7th, 2023, and we haven't actually talked about it on this show yet, which is kind of crazy. It's been on my mind for a while, and I think everyone's mind collectively just in the world, like it's pretty hard to ignore. And I have been in this bubble of like pro-Palestinian people, and I just got kind of used to that idea and like thought that it was, yeah, like it's pretty common sense, you know, that it's an ethnic cleansing. And I've been getting like more involved on campus, and I also had a recent experience in one of my lectures actually with my professor bringing it up after there was like this in-class activity, and it's the what kind of thing where you like type in a little comment and then they show up on the screen, and somebody said something about like being targeted because they're Jewish and like because of what's happening in Palestine. So she kind of felt the need to address it, which makes total sense. But when she was talking about it, at least in this lecture setting, like she was really tiptoeing around, seemed like she actually did seem kind of scared, and like even like her voice was a little shaky and stuff when saying that it was a genocide and like calling it out for what it is. And that kind of made me think that there are, like, I know for sure in the US and in a lot of other countries that there are pretty obvious examples of academic censorship to do with pro-Palestinian discussions, but that moment kind of made me realize, like, okay, this seems to be a thing in Canada too, and it somehow is still a touchy subject even after all of the news reporting and journalism that's been going on in Palestine that pretty much shows that it is a genocide, and it's pretty hard to deny for me and for anyone who has most of the information. So, yeah.
I'd say I am coming from more of a neutral standpoint from previously, but now into, I don't want to say pro-Palestinian, but support for the Palestinian people.
What's the difference?
I don't want to say pro-Palestinian because I don't like the word pro for one country or another in a way, because both countries have humans at stake. I don't want to say like, oh, like I don't just want to support not the death, but just the life of one country. That's just kind of a more of a the ethicality of behind the word, or I want to say more about that, but no, that's not my point. But I'm coming more from not a really pro-Palestinian group of people or opinions. I haven't heard much of it other than hearing it from the news and not typically day-to-day in my classes. And my professors don't normally talk about it either, so I haven't really heard a more academic perspective, but I've heard it from and have been talking about it with my family, who are but both my mom and my dad are ex-journalists, and they've done a lot of research and reporting and producing material on politics and Middle Eastern conflict, etc. So I've had a lot of conversations with them before kind of making my not decision but doing a lot more research before sticking with something, especially as well that I don't use social media, and so I can't see a lot of things on social media either, so I'm a little bit isolated from more of the world affairs. But after this episode and preparing for this episode, I do feel that I can talk about it a bit more. And I do believe genocide is occurring in Palestine. And it actually, in my way of researching, I actually didn't think it was genocide at the beginning. I'm just going to be honest. Because of the way it was defined and the events in history. But maybe later on I can explain of how I came to this more newer conclusion, and could also explain why other people are not supporting Palestine, or look down on people who support and protest for Palestine and support more the Jewish people, especially with Canadians. But that will be a bit later. And this all kind of stemmed from the reason of why academic censorship is occurring, because, you know, that was our topic, and we hope to mostly pinpoint for that. But I fell into a rabbit hole of, is this genocide or not? Which maybe I'll touch on a bit later, but
yeah,
we'll see.
And I also just want to clarify that, like, for me, saying that I'm pro-Palestine does not mean I'm against Jewish people or, like, all Israeli people. It's more so, like, I'm against what the state of Israel and what the government of Israel is doing to Palestine. And that's what I mean when I say pro-Palestine. And it doesn't mean, you know, like, it's anti-Semitism, which I feel like is something that people get mixed up with or use as a way to, what's the word, like, repress any support or talking about being pro-Palestine. So, yeah. Moving on, just to, like, give a little bit of a background before we get into the academic censorship, is that, yeah, like, for me, I didn't, maybe, yeah, this is partially, I guess, being in this echo chamber, is like, I didn't realize it was still such a big debate of, like, whether or not it is a genocide. I was really confused when my professor was very gentle and careful about talking about it, because I was like, it's obvious, like, look at the statistics, look at the news, like, look at what's been happening. But yeah, I guess there are some statistics.
Yeah, there's one statistic from the Angus Reid Institution, where they conducted an online survey in early August 2025 of this year. And this took a sample of 1,522 Canadian adults. And it came out that 52% of them believe that genocide in Gaza is occurring as of August 2025, which is pretty shocking, which is split pretty much right across the line. Yeah. So, and it used to be 41% in February 2024. So there is a growing change to believe that it has hit a point of genocide, which now the United Nations has declared it genocide. That may also contribute.
Yeah, because, yeah, I just wanted to say that the UN Commission of Inquiry declared it was a genocide in 2025, which is fairly recent still, because, like, this has been going on for quite a while. And they say that it's the most extreme stage of a long-standing settler colonial process of erasure of native Palestinians. And yeah, we can get into the definition of what a genocide is now, or maybe a bit later. I'm not like, it might be useful to talk about it now.
Yeah,
actually,
so just before we get into the censorship and everything, we were having some questions about the definitions of, you know, like, what is genocide, and the fact that the definition is very strict for and not very fluid, since it was defined in the 1940s by the United Nations. And I think that does contribute to the reason why, Canadians especially are very divided on this idea of genocide in Palestine. And so the definition that is currently used worldwide is from the United Nations from 1948 Genocide Convention. And so it states that in the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group as such. One, killing members of the group. Two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or part. Four, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. And five, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. And, you know, obviously Palestinians are dying, and there is harm being inflicted on the group. Hospitals are being bombed, and this does prevent births. And people are being shuffled around like herds to different places along the Gaza Strip. And this, under definition, it seems like it would. But the problem is that Israel is using the terminology that they are trying to exterminate the Hamas specifically, which is the Palestinian terrorist group, which they define as separately from the Palestinian people.
But also, just quickly to cut in about the fact that Hamas is a terrorist group, that isn't an internationally recognized label. Like, some countries do see it as a terrorist group and some others don't, because it is also Palestine's only form of government. And it says that it has, you know, a political and a military branch. And some people, you know, say that it overlaps and some don't. But it is pretty much Palestine's only way of having any kind of armed resistance against Israel. And also, the terms that Hamas is defined under to be a terrorist group is very, very similar to what Israel is actually doing to Palestine as well. So that gets to be pretty murky territory. So yeah, I just wanted to say that the word terrorist doesn't necessarily fit.
Yeah, I think if we look at a Canadian context, it may also lead into why there is censorship for Palestinian protests and support in Canada, because it is considered, Hamas is considered a terrorist organization just for Canada specifically, which is a currently listed entity for Government of Canada. But as DJ Star said, sorry, almost revealed your identity.
That's okay.
There are countries who don't designate it with that label. And so with these traditional definition, the problem is that genocide is particularly with this idea that it has to be an act committed to a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. And the fact that Israel is saying that Hamas, and some countries are saying that Hamas is a terrorist organization, that it doesn't fall under this definition of genocide. And that's, I feel, a big issue with of this Canadian divide of opinion. And this can also go into, you know, some history as well. Like, people think, oh, genocide, the Holocaust, you know, like, Germans were obviously trying to exterminate, kill, mass murder, straight off the bat, just gas chamber these specific group of people. And same with, example, Cambodia in 1975, where Cambodians specifically, the ethnic group, was rounded up, taken to labor camps, and killed. But the problem with this more modern day Middle Eastern conflict is that with Israel saying that we are targeting the terrorist group, we're not trying to target the Palestinians. So technically, you know, anyone who's killed the Palestinians was not genocide, because we're not intending to kill them, is what they're trying to say. And it is now, with further thorough research, is there is propaganda that they are putting out there to say they aren't killing Palestinian peoples. And I could get a lot more into that, but I don't want to go off into whole spew. So, DJ Star, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I think Israel is using Hamas as a scapegoat, I guess, to carry out a lot of these horrific things that they're doing. They're denying any aid to enter Palestine, and I don't understand how that's targeting Hamas, because that actually just affects all Palestinians who need food.
I did find that they are, there is reports that they are sending aid, but it's definitely not enough. Like, for example, food. They are bringing some food. They're saying it, and that's how they're playing this good guy act of saying that they're bringing the food, but it still isn't just enough for the entire population they're moving.
Yeah, well, and most aid, I think, is not being let through, especially, like, when we see what happened with the flotillas. Like, they were just trying to bring aid and food to Palestine, and Israel, like, seized the boats. I think they kind of even, like, tortured Greta Thunberg. But that's, yeah, that's beside the point. There's like shooting civilians who are even trying to access aid if it is getting through. So yeah, it's like a systematic starvation of the whole population in Gaza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole list of reasons like that contribute to why it's a genocide. Because yeah, they say it's against Hamas, not the civilians. But there's a ton of child mortality. And I think UNICEF found 50,000 plus children have been killed or injured since October 2023.
I think the problem with that one, though, is that the thing with that it's killing more children is just because of the population structure of Gaza is very child dominant. That's just the way the population is structured. So I don't think they're intending to kill more children compared to any other war, but it's just the fact that they're just 47.3% of the population is under the age of 18, which they couldn't control for of who they kill, but that may be a factor into that.
But also, I've looked into what some of the officials are saying about Palestinian people, and the MP and deputy speaker of the Knesset, Nissan Vaturi, and the Knesset is basically a government organization that passes all laws, elects the president, prime minister, and supervises the work of the government. And this person said that every child born in Gaza is already a terrorist from the moment of his birth. And I've seen that same sentiment reflected in like multiple different government officials in the way that they see Palestinian children, which kind of justifies or like makes it right that they are being killed because they're like, oh, well, they're going to be a future terrorist. And perhaps it's like I don't want to say what their intention is because yeah, like it is disproportionately more children, but it does seem based on this rhetoric that they're not necessarily trying to avoid that. And international humanitarian law, according to the Committee of the Red Cross, says that children affected by armed conflict are entitled to special respect and protection. So they're also violating that. So yeah, like based on those pieces of information, I think it is still valid to bring up the fact about how many children have been killed and just the complete disregard for their lives as well.
Yeah, there is the idea. There is the fact that Israel has crossed the line with proportionality. Proportionality. Which they're killing a lot more people of what's of what's needed in war at a humanitarian level. And that's something that has been brought up multiple times, especially in the latest attacks in October. And also, I believe, one of the reasons why genocide has more officially been declared by the UN compared to years and years ago, because we've hit this threshold of so many people dead versus the other side.
Even though, for sure,
you know, we don't want death from any side, but when one's obviously been way more higher mortality rate and they're just throwing stuff at them, it's, it gets to a point where you gotta kind of think about it.
For sure. And also just going a bit further with the fact that Israel says war is against Hamas but not Palestinian civilians, most hospitals, 94%, and schools, 95%, are non-functional due to Israeli attacks. So that means most of the population isn't getting an education, can't access any healthcare, and that, you know, perhaps Hamas is like a very, very small percentage also can't access healthcare, but that, you know, it doesn't really make sense logically how that's really connected. And yeah, they're like targeting refugee camps.
Going into the hospital and the hospital thing, though, as well, kind of more on the rebuttal side for the Canadians who don't believe it's genocide. Israel has been saying and trying to show evidence, which there is no proven evidence, that Hamas are hiding within the basements of hospitals. And they're saying that they have pictures and bodyguard evidence of, you know, their weapons in the basement and things like that, which, I mean, people, and they also have tortured people, Palestinians, to say that, you know, they are hiding in these hospitals and using human shields to protect themselves, which there also is no evidence as to groups such as Amnesty International and all these humanitarian groups who have researched into this. And so, you know, obviously they shouldn't be bombing hospitals. I mean, they're using this idea of human shields, which is proven that they haven't, there's no evidence that the Hamas are using Palestinian peoples to hide from, which I believe is one of the designations of making you a terrorist organization, is using civilians. And so that there is also news articles I've seen online. I actually got influenced by a CBC article that headlined just as, you know, Hamas are hiding in the basement of this hospital. And I didn't read the full article, but I saw that and I'm like, oh, you know, they are bombing the hospitals because the Hamas are in them. But I didn't read the full thing. And I feel like if I could easily get that swayed, other people would only see that title and think, you know, oh, well, the Israelis, they're only doing what's right. Like, you know, get them in the hospitals because that's where they are. But no, they aren't. Yeah. Anyways.
There is a lot of, like, justification that Israel uses for why they're doing things. I think that's why people have a difficult time also, like, discerning what's true and what's not true. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of other factors in why people enable or accept this behavior from Israel too, that we can get into a bit later. And yeah, I think we could do a bit of a music break right now before we get into the academic censorship and why that happens, you know, why Canada also seems to support Israel. And yeah, so before we get into that, we will be playing a song by Eliana, and it's called Sokar. And yeah, she blends Arabic music, pop, and R&B. So yeah.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
غير بالقانون احس اني بطير